Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Faisal on 770 CHQR and More Than Money. Okay. So we're getting closer.
Take that deep breath, buddy.
Yeah, because we've got an amazing two segments here to cover, because Faisal, we're getting lots of questions. There's lots of people concerned about, you know, the upcoming U.S. election.
Correct.
And what does it mean? Not just who wins, but what's going to happen in the transition of power? What effect does that have on U.S. companies? What effect does it have on the world economy? And
what does it have effect on us here at home?
Right.
Here in
Canada. My retirement.
Oh, yeah.
Right? That's, I mean, ultimately, people will boil this down. How is this going to affect me?
Correct.
So let's try to make some sense of that. Now, thankfully, you don't have to rely just on your and my conversation in this case. We've got a terrific guest with us, a recurring guest and a wonderful partner to our show. Peter Zion's going to join us. He's a geopolitical expert. Peter, welcome back to the show.
Pleasure to be back.
Well, my friend, I'm not sure that we're going to be able to do justice in 20 minutes total on this, but we've got the first 10 minutes of this segment where we would love to get your thoughts, your take on how this election is shaping up. Just give us a bit of a high level of what you see.
Give us that overview of what's happening right now before the election, and then we'll talk about what happens at the election and after.
And the outcomes,
But let's give us from your perspective, what the heck's happening in the world today?
Well, let's start with a touch of background. Unlike the parties in Canada that are a lot more ideological, the parties in the United States are much more factional. So, you know, you've got the labor unions and the Greens and the gays, for example, on the Democratic side. Those factions don't always hold in the constellation that we've come to think of them as. They move around every generation or two, and we're going through one of those reshuffling periods right now. So, for example, the unions have left the Democratic Party, and they're now part of Team Trump. But on the same side, Trump has driven away the fiscal conservatives, the national security voters, and the business conservatives. So when people say, you know, the Republicans aren't acting like Republicans, that's right. The party is changing. And in this period of change, it's very difficult for the parties to function and come up with good candidates. And so they haven't. And that's why we've got these two guys running right now.
That's a fair assessment. Okay. And so they're running on, you know, different things, different ideas. And it speaks to your point that they have a different base. Maybe just give us the setup. What is this, you know, what does this look like? What should we be thinking about as a U.S. citizen and perhaps as a global citizen? What should we be aware of?
Well, one of the things to keep in mind is one of the reasons that we're doing this party reshuffling is the global structures have changed.
Okay.
The Cold War ended 30 years ago, and Americans are only now getting around to adjusting their political system. So, you know, ideally we would have gone through this 20 years ago, but hey, you know, we tend to delay. And so we've got a candidate on the right, Trump, who has proven to be not a very good manager. And he has very few true supporters, just most people pinch their nose and vote for him because they don't like the other guy. And as a result, he's probably driven about half of Republican voters away, especially business and fiscal-minded folks. But he's also alienated the moderates with his mismanagement of the coronavirus crisis. But on the other side, you've got Biden. And the only reason that Biden has gotten the nomination, the only reason Biden was vice president, was that he is very good at changing everything he says he believes in a matter of a couple of months. He's been in politics for 40 years, and he's changed his mind on everything in order to tack with the political winds. Now, that's made him a fairly successful senator, but it's not clear that's going to make him a successful leader. And with the Americans backing away from all things global, we have a candidate on the right that's offended that America might take a leadership role, and a candidate on the left who's tacking with the political winds. And most of the groups on the left who are ascendant want nothing to do with the global system. So if you're looking for the United States to venture back out into the world and kind of hold up the ceiling that makes globalization work, free trade, low regulation, open markets, freedom of the seas, all that good stuff, forget it. You're not going to get it from one of these two guys. So this broad-scale American disengagement we've seen for the last couple decades, it is finalized in the last 4 years, and that means the global trade as we now know it is over.
So let's talk about some of the concerns that we're hearing, at least through the media outlets and from anecdotally from people that we're speaking to in the United States. One of the concerns is this whole change in globalization. Number two is the the bipartisan, more importantly, the divide within the country that we're seeing. I believe that it's been there for a long time. It's just being seen more now because of social media and conventional media. And the third thing is this, the whole pandemic and how this will change what people do and their behaviors and how companies will operate. Are those the three issues that leading into the election, or are there other issues that Americans are thinking about?
The divide and the pandemic obviously are driving the political conversation. And I don't think there's a lot of people in the United States who think that Trump's done a great job. It's a real black mark for him. And assuming that Biden can hold it together for the debate, and that's maybe a topic for another time, Biden's going to walk away with it. Trump needs to win every single swing state as well as a few blue states in order to turn things around. And unlike last time, there's not this big block of 10, 15, 20 million populists who just don't answer polls. We know about those people now, and so they're folded into the numbers. So Trump has a very, very stark mountain to climb. In terms of the partisan divide, something to remember about Americans is that we love to argue with ourselves. Jefferson, during the first presidential debate back in the late 1800s, accused Adams of being a hermaphrodite without any of the redeeming characteristics, you know, whatever that means. So the point is, we're cruel to each other on a relatively regular basis when it comes to rhetoric. And for the rest of the world, this is probably a good thing, because if we ever are on the same side, it's usually because we're scared of and mad at something. And that can get really dicey for everybody else. So we're in this kind of internal narcissistic moment. The political parties have flown apart and are coming back together. And in that process, everything's really loud and messy anyway. And then you're absolutely right. Social media has given a voice to the people on the fringes who normally don't participate in the political system. And right now they are. And right now that's a lot of what we hear. But your final piece, or your first one, actually, globalization, that is not even a topic for discussion in the United States. The military voters have become swing voters. The business community has been ejected from the political system. And so the two factions that normally care about that issue are, for the moment, silent. And on the left and the right, global issues just are not a concern. I mean, the United States only has four significant deployments left in the world. Afghanistan, Korea, and Germany are all going to zero. And the last one is Japan, because Japan agreed to pay the United States to stay involved. And that's it. American troops deployed overseas are at the lowest level since the 1920s, and they're still going down.
Right.
We're done, at least for now.
Peter, there's a big question that a lot of people are debating and takes a lot of the headline space, and that is this transition of power. So we've got about 2 minutes before we have to go to break.
Yeah.
Maybe let's finish this up and get your thoughts on that.
I'm really not worried about that. The mechanisms that transfer power from one president to the other are pretty straightforward. And the institutions that are involved are among our most professional, specifically the Secret Service, which really, really, really does not like the incumbent. So if Trump tries to stick around, there will probably have to be some sort of contest among the Secret Service agents to see who gets to physically manhandle him out of the building. It's not something I'm concerned about at all. I mean, it makes great headlines, but it's not something that the Trump administration can actually force anyone to do. And everyone who can force Trump to do something are the people with the guns, to be perfectly obvious about it.
Okay. All right. We're going to have to go to a break. But before we do that, Faisal, we have to try to make some sense of this. We have to have people live through this transition of power, right, in their retirement, and allow them to do the things that they want to do.
So much distractions that can happen that can really impact your retirement, your portfolio. So how do you bulletproof your retirement as you're going through events like this? We're going to give you the solution on Tuesday, October 20th, 7 p.m., live online. You need to register. So go to morethanmoneyradio.com. That's morethanmoneyradio.com to register.
How do these changing winds in the U.S. affect Canada and ultimately your retirement? Stick around after the break. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.